This is a Charles Russell Speechlease podcast.
On to topic three, a guide to Pride. Now, I've never been to Pride, and this year was going to be the year, but I wasn't sure what to expect. Now, although I can't attend anymore due to the joys of COVID-19, I would like to know more about it. So I'm going to be joined by Annie, Bea and Sam for this third and final part of the podcast to tell me a bit more about it. So let's start off with, what is the purpose of Pride? And also perhaps a bit of history. How long has it been running for? Sam, perhaps you could tell me more.
Of course, yes. So the purpose of Pride will vary for different people, but broadly speaking, it is designed to be a platform to raise awareness of LGBTQ plus issues and to give people the chance to campaign for freedoms that will allow them to live their lives on a genuinely equal footing. In terms of its history, it's quite a colourful one. So it's emanated from the Stonewall riots back in July 1969. And it was on the 1st of July 1972 where the first London Pride took place, where there was around 2,000 people in attendance. And this is now up to 1.5 million who attended last year's Pride. And I think for me, it has changed quite significantly over time as well. So back in 1972, it was far more about campaigning for equal rights, and it was less of a celebration than it probably is now.
And in terms of the march itself, can anyone participate in that? How do you get to participate in that?
Anyone is entitled to participate in the march. I'm talking specifically about London here, where it is ticketed to actually walk the march. But if you just want to attend and to be there on the sidelines, that is completely free and there are no barriers to entry in that respect. Typically speaking, tickets are given to various organisations and companies. So when I marched, I went as part of Legal Best, which is a network of law firms, and we had 25 tickets between us all. So the numbers are limited in terms of who can participate in the march, but this does vary across the country. So I have rocked up to other Pride marches in Bristol and Exeter and have just joined the back and marched down the various streets.
So Annie, how has Pride changed over the years?
Well, I've been going to Pride for about 30 years now. And when I started, and it started, it started in 72. So this was at least 10 years after that I started going to it. It was still a fairly small affair. It was still very much a march, a campaigning march, a march wanting to give us more visibility and to start people thinking about how things needed to be changed. Visibility, I think, was a massive, massive bit of it. It was very community in those days. It was a march, and then it became, after the march, you'd have a party, but the party was in a park. It wasn't spread out through London. All the charities would be there with their tents, and there'd be a woman's tent and a men's tent, and you'd see your mates, and you'd plan what you wanted to do in terms of your activities and getting together and more campaigning. It was an extremely exciting time. It felt very different feel from now. Very different feel indeed. I mean, people partied. It was a big party, and I can remember being in the women's tent and we'd all be dancing, and then I thought I'd go and have a look in the men's tent, and you'd walk into the men's tent and you'd be sort of blown over by the smell of poppers. it was just a crazy time, really, but a time that was obviously laid very, very important in terms of influencing change.
Yeah, but it must have been. It must have been absolutely, it must have felt really quite wild in those times, as you say. It's not that long after it had been illegal. And then not only is it legal, but everyone, as you say, is out there partying, celebrating the change. I love the fact there were separate men's and women's tents. That's just hilarious. But yeah, I can imagine that must have, did it feel like, it must have felt like a real release.
Oh yeah, highlight of the year without a doubt. Going to Pride. I mean, I was living in the north of England at the time, and we would all come down for a few days and meet up. And yeah, there was always great acts on, and but it was in a sort of small community environment in a park. And then things started to change, and suddenly people started. Yeah, we would have to pay to go, and people would have to have sponsorship, and then the whole thing became rather more commercialised. I think the BBC at one point in time wanted it to be like one of their summer gigs that they put on, and it all started to change. And now, of course, it's very different.
Yes, so let's talk about what happens now, and let's start off with usually what time of year is it be, and what does it involve?
Usually during the summer months, so either June or July. I believe this year's one was meant to be at the end of June. Last year's was in July, and it's in terms of what we do at CRS, we've started having pre-Pride drinks and a meet-up just in a cafe close by to the march. So we do that on the morning of Pride, and it's been such a great event because we've invited friends, family, other law firms as well. So that's what we do on the morning of Pride, and then whoever's part of the march and goes off and does the march, and we go and watch and then all meet up again afterwards. So it's pretty much a day of celebration.
And a good time had by all, I understand, from talking to those who went last year. And Annie, I believe there are also different Pride celebrations around the country, is that right?
Yes, I haven't been to very many of them around the country. My activities are usually concentrated on supporting Opening Doors London. We have a bus that is always at the beginning of the parade, because obviously some of our members have some mobility difficulties. I love it now again. I went off it a bit, but I love it again now that I'm involved in Opening Doors, because for our members, this is the highlight of their year. And there's a proportion of members who were never able to go to Pride in the early days because it was too risky for them. They didn't want to be seen. They didn't want to be visible. It was taking too many risks. But now they can come and they can enjoy it. And we have a handful of people every year who come to Pride. And for them, it's their first experience of Pride. And that's extremely special. And I love being part of all that.
Yeah, I bet that must be really special. And I hadn't realised until we were having the discussion at work that it's also encourages that family attendance, you know, that it's not just for those in the LGBTQ+ communities. I think that's really nice. And Beatrice, you mentioned that, you know, the drinks that we host, for example, you know, people are coming, you know, they're coming with their children, it's a very family feel, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Particularly last year, we had quite a few people from, I know for myself, from real estate who brought their children with them. And it was great. It was lovely. And, you know, that's how it should be every year, I would say.
Well, I think we're definitely going to work on that. Everyone's going to be so up for a party next year. So chat about that. We're going to need a bigger budget. One of my other key questions about Pride is that when I was at university, I was at the University of Sussex, and one of the best gay nights I used to go to was a fabulous night called Wild Fruit in one of the clubs there. But I have to say that the outfit that I used to wear to that evening, given I'm now in my 40s, are probably just not really very appropriate for me to wear those now. So I'm slightly concerned about what I might have to wear to get dressed up, or do I even have to get dressed up? So Sam, tell me more. What will my attire be when I get to party in 2021?
Whatever you like, basically. I've had other friends with me who have dressed as plainly as it gets, and I've had others who have worn the most colourful outfits they can possibly from the local fancy dress shop. It really is a day to express yourself in whatever way you possibly want, regardless of how you identify. So go ahead, Emma, dress in whatever outfit you like.
I'm not getting the wild fruit outfit back out, but I might go quite colourful, I think. Andy, what would you suggest? So what do you wear when you go?
Oh, something bright, something a few rainbows, a bit of face paint, you know. Yeah, bright colours, usually shorts and a bright shirt, I think, and some jolly shoes. And some of those rainbow stripe things that you put on your face with some, like, a face paint thing.
Well, that sounds good. Sam will tell you I'm all about the dressing up. So bright and colourful dressing up I can definitely do. Just need the British weather to play ball. And what's it like to participate in the march? Sam, you mentioned that I think you joined in. Well, how did you find it?
It was an interesting experience, actually, because we were held in a pen for about 2 hours at the start, and this was in 2018. We didn't know why. It was a baking hot day. It was the same day when England played Sweden in the World Cup, and we were genuinely unsure as to what was going on. And we found out later on that it was due to anti-trans protesters holding it up. So I remember having no shade for 2 hours and thinking, I really hope this march begins soon. But when you're actually marching itself, you never quite prepare yourself for the sheer number of people you come across in such a short space of time. When you attend the march from the sideline, you can see the parade go past. But when you're actually marching in it, you are essentially walking past hundreds, if not thousands, of people in such a short space of time. It's quite an unusual situation. You're wearing bright colours, all being very happy and being in attendance for partying and celebration, so it's great fun. It is very tiring on the legs, and it is longer than you expect, but ultimately it's very enjoyable. So I always urge people who are interested in marching to do so. I know a lot of organisations will provide that opportunity for you.
Annie, presumably you've also participated in the march. How do you find it?
I love them. I love it these days, but I do adopt a particular role. Where I go with ODL, and I usually march alongside. And I have a thing where I try to spot older women who are watching on, you know, behind the barriers. And I go up to them and I give them a big kiss. And I say, you are now a lesbian. And I have managed to convert many during the different prides over the last few years.
I like your strategy. I understand there's also Black Pride. How did that come about? And is that celebrated in the same way? Bea, I think you said you'd been to that?
Yes, I have been. My understanding is Black Pride was part of the main Pride march. And then they sort of split off and created their own day separate to the main pride. I believe because they wanted to celebrate being, you know, a person of colour and LGBT as well. So it's held usually the day after the main pride march in Vauxhall, in the park, just near Vauxhall Station. And it's a lot of fun. I'd say it's probably a lot more intimate in terms of, because it's in one location, the park is great. There's loads of different tents there as well, different foods are there. They have a DJ that plays music all day, so it's, for me, it's more of a festival sort of feel, and I quite like that as well. That side of it, I'll definitely recommend, if we can, you know, not all too hungover from the day before, to try and head down to Black Pride next year.
Well, that sounds a great idea. It sounds to me like somebody just came up with the idea of making sure we had 2 days of partying and not one. I'm all in favour of that. So hopefully 2021 will see the return of Pride, and I will get to pay my first visit. Perhaps we can conclude this podcast with some words of encouragement as to why people, including heterosexual people, should also consider attending Pride next year. Bea, what would you say to people to encourage them to attend?
As an ally and as heterosexual, I'd say just go. Even if you don't have anybody LGBTQ in your family or any friends. It's just a great day. It's a great chance to meet new people as well. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I would just highly recommend going, just for the social aspects of it as well.
Sounds good to me. Sam, what about you? What would you say to encourage people?
It's a huge amount of fun. It's a massive street party in the centre of London for a day. Everyone is there to have a fantastic time and to support you, and love is the key message. So I'd strongly urge anyone who's even remotely intrigued or interested by the idea of attending to do so. It really is one of the best days of the year, and for me surpasses Christmas as the day in the calendar.
Wow, that really is selling it. Annie, to round us off, what would you say to encourage people to come along to Pride next year?
It's a wonderful day for affirming who you are and affirming your life and your life's choices if you are LGBT. And for everybody else, it's affirming of equality. It's affirming of speaking up for our human rights.
And as we record, I think everybody's conscious that that's ever been more important. So thank you very much for that, Annie. And thank you for joining us. It's been really, really interesting to hear everyone's stories, yours in particular, actually, to give us real context to it all. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. We really hope that you've found this interesting and useful. And if you would like to get involved, if you're at Charles Russell Speechlies, we obviously have diversity and inclusion groups. So please do get in touch with any member of those.
This is a Charles Russell Speechlies podcast.